Good morning. Well, with fall readily upon us and winter fast approaching, I happen to know that for a few of you out there, there's something that you look forward to along about this time of year to receive something in the mail, and that's the seed catalogs. You look forward to being able to pick out the things that you're going to be growing in your garden for the following year in the springtime. And you're looking forward to the produce that you'll be able to grow, and those you share it with, we look forward to it as well in that endeavor. But one fruit I hope that we all will endeavor to grow in the garden, and not in our physical gardens, but in the garden of our heart, is the fruit of the Spirit. To that we turn today in a very familiar passage in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, if you would turn there with me this morning. The book of Galatians chapter 5 is where we will turn our attention. It was written by Paul. He's encouraging in the Galatian church. They're dealing with a drawback to some of their old ways before they knew Christ. And they're seeking to find their standing with Christ apart from the grace and forgiveness that is found in Him. And one of the arguments Paul was making is that in so doing, they're abandoning the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is working in their lives and in their hearts. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, we begin with these words. Would you stand together as we read? So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that your Spirit would be among us today. And I pray that it would open to us your Word, that we may hear it clearly and understand, perceive the truths that you have in it, and shape us by it. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we consider this passage on the fruit of the Spirit, I want us to consider, first of all, the fruits that are already growing in the life and the heart of every person, man, woman, and child who has ever lived. You see, we don't start with a blank garden. We don't start with a garden tilled blank with the soil fresh and turned over and an open palette before us. No, we all start with a garden that already has some things that are growing in it. We see here the thing that is already at work in the heart of every individual is our sinful nature. Every person who's ever lived has a sinful nature. A sinful nature is that which rebels and pushes back against the God who has created us, who has formed us and made us. That in us that would shake its fist at God and turn to our own way and our own devices. Each and every one of us has that component within our hearts and lives. We've inherited, as it were, like an inheritable disease from our forefathers, from our parents who've gone before us. And we all carry it within us, that part of us that would rebel against God. And since all of us have a sinful nature, we need to understand that everyone is already growing the fruits of sin in our hearts. We all bear, as it were, and grow, as it were, the fruits of sin. The fruits of sin are that which we produce apart from God. When we turn against God and turn against His ways and refuse to hear His words and instructions, we produce something in us. And that something is those sinful ways. In fact, Paul here calls them, it's interesting that he calls the things that are produced by the Spirit fruits, But the word he uses for those sinful ways are not fruits, but in verse 19 he calls them the acts of the sinful nature. And there I think he's being intentional because he wants us to see this is what happens when God is not at work in our life and our hearts. This is what we will produce on our own, the acts that we will do. And so it was in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. When they came and they took of that fruit, it was not because God was fully at work in their hearts that they were bearing the fruits that He would have them to do, but they were acting of their own accord, acting of their own desires within themselves. They were doing their own acts apart from God. They were not real fruits. So what are the sinful fruits that we all grow up of ourselves? You see them listed there beginning in verse 19. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. This is not meant to be a comprehensive list. Paul is simply saying, you know the types of things that we produce when we get about doing things in our own way. Notice here how many of these things are so destructive to relationships between human beings. Notice the harm they inflict, not just toward God, but toward ourselves and among each other. The dissensions and factions, the fighting and anger and turmoil, the rage, the envy, the partying, they bring self-destruction to us and upon us. And so Paul urges and admonishes us, don't be steeped in those works. And so you may be looking at that list and you may be evaluating your own life and you may begin to be tempted to say, well, I'm not doing so bad. After all, I wasn't out partying last night. I haven't gotten any fist fights with anybody. I'm faithful to my spouse. I haven't bowed down to any idols. It's Halloween time, but I won't even dress up as a witch, much less engage in witchcraft. And you may be assuming into yourself, well, I'm doing fairly well compared to this horrible list of the bad stuff that those people out there do. What I want you to realize is what Paul is listing is the fully formed fruits in our hearts and our lives. We must beware of the bud. We must beware of the seed that lies there, ready to spring and to grow and to bloom and to blossom. You see, we may not give ourselves into fits of rage, but no doubt anger lodges in our heart. We may not give ourselves fully into sexual morality, but no doubt lust lodges in our heart. We may not give ourselves to witchcraft, but no doubt superstitions surround us. We may not give ourselves to faction and dissensions, but no doubt we have those that are like us that we stand around far more closely than those like them out there who are different than us and who scare us and frighten us. We must beware. So though we may not see the full fruit, it stands ready to blossom, given a moment's notice. So those sinful seeds, as it were, lie ready in our heart, and we must be aware of them and give attention to them. Paul doesn't want us to look at this list and say, well, check, I'm doing good. He wants us to evaluate and say, am I in danger of growing any of these fruits, any of these things into fuller blossom into my life and into my heart? So we've considered the fact that we are already growing a fruit in our life and our heart. That fruit is our sinful nature, and it wants to produce something in us which is wholly destructive to ourselves and to our relationship with God and to our relationship among one another. But Paul here calls us to grow a different fruit, doesn't he? He calls us to grow the fruits of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? He tells us the fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. Here we hear and need to be reminded of those scriptures that tell us what love is. The scripture tells us, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin. We want to know what love is. We must first of all and above all look to Jesus Christ. He shows us what true love is. Love is not the emotional fling. Love is not arousal. Love is not the things that the world would portray love as. Love is sacrificial. Love is costly. Love is a determined choice. Love is patient, 1 Corinthians tells us. It is kind, it does not envy, it is not boastful, it is not proud or rude. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil. Love rejoices in the truth. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, it perseveres. Love never fails. Love is a high calling. Fruit of the Spirit is also joy. Joy is that hopeful gladness found not in the circumstances around us, not based on what's happening in our life in this particular moment, but it's found in the concrete hope we have in Jesus Christ. It stands stable despite the turmoil. Like the song we sung a moment ago, He giveth more grace. So even when costly things happen, even when the scary things happen, even when things hurt in our life, we can have a measure of gladness in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and we cling to it. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. Peace is setting aside for the betterment of the other. Peace is not seeking our own ends, but seeking the good of all, bringing all into unity, into accord, into harmony. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, long-suffering, long-temperedness, having a long fuse that bears up with much wrong and being put off and not getting its own way. It's not easily angered or set off. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Kindness is compassion or sympathy for someone else. It's also a generosity that gives and cares for the other. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness is simply seeking the good of others, not seeking it for itself. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. It's perseverance, endurance under the hard times. The word I like lately is grit. Holding on when something would rub against us and push us off. Continuing to hold on and to endure and to persevere and to remain faithful to who Christ has called us to be. The fruit of the Spirit is also gentleness. Gentleness is a meekness, a humility that sees its proper place in life. That doesn't command and order and seek to use its own authority and power against others, but rather comes alongside others and, yes, even beneath others for their good. It's a tenderness. The fruit of the Spirit is also self-control. Putting a leash on our own desires, our own wants in life, and saying, no, we will rein those in. Put boundaries and borders and say, no, I will not push fully into what I want, but I'm going to rein that back because what I want will bring harm and destruction for others, as we've seen a moment ago in the fruits of the sinful nature. Notice, I've been careful with my phrasing here. The fruit of the Spirit is all of these things. The word here is used as singular. It's not, these are the fruits of the Spirit, so that we may look at it and say, well, I'm halfway good at being patient, but I'm not very kind, or I'm not very loving, or I'm really good at being joyful, I'm kind of happy-go-lucky, but boy, I don't have any patience at all. So I'm doing okay because I just got a little more of that fruit and this fruit. No, what Paul says here is there is one fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's all those things. In other words, he's saying these are the types of things, the fruits that bear up in each heart that bears the Spirit in it. We must have all of these fruits growing within us. We would have the fruit of the Spirit. Notice also the growth and the development of the fruit of the Spirit in our life and heart as believers is not optional. Look in verse 21. He's listing the fruits of the sinful nature, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And in the latter part of the verse he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. He wants us to be warned. We say very often that our works can't save us as Christians. That's exactly what we need to say. Our works cannot save us as Christians, but our works can damn us. The life we live can stand as
a judgment against us. We must understand bearing these fruits is not something that the super spiritual elites get to attain to. It's something that even the lowliest of Christians is called to. So we must beware. Growing the fruit of the Spirit is not optional. Continuing to tend and to develop the fruits of the sinful nature in our heart and life, continuing to cultivate those things in our life, what we need to understand is the kingdom of God is coming. And yes, it has already come in Jesus Christ and in His people. And continuing to cultivate those things is continuing to show active rebellion to the kingdom of God, even now while it is coming. If we will continue to resist and fight back, we show whose side we are on. We give evidence of where our loyalties lie and whose king we serve. Beware. We must grow the fruit of the Spirit. We must cultivate it in our life, in our heart. We see the reality that growing the fruit of the Spirit is not optional. Also in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus shows us this. Will you turn there, Matthew chapter 7? It comes in the Sermon on the Mount. He's nearing the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And he's giving a warning here in Matthew 7:15. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets." What he's saying is, watch out for people who claim to speak for God but don't. "They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit will you recognize them." So Jesus says an outward test that you can see if someone is truly of the faith and truly represents God is don't just listen to what they say, but look at their character and look at their lives. It will bear witness. Look at the fruits they're producing in their lives. So my friend, I challenge you today. Examine your fruits. What are you producing in your lives? My friend, I also challenge you. Examine the fruits of those who take up the name of Christ today. It is rampant in our culture right now that people tag on the name Christ or Christian to their causes, but their lives give testimony to the complete opposite. It is rampant among popular speakers, among popular pastors. It's notable in the church, and it's notable outside the church. It is rampant in our politics. It is rampant in our societies. Test by their fruits, not just what they say. Examine their hearts. Examine their lives, Jesus commends us to. By your fruit, you will be known, Jesus says. I also give a caution warning. There is such a thing as artificial fruit. You can go to Hobby Lobby and buy tons of it. Right? There's artificial fruit. There's fruit that looks good on the outside, but when you open it up, it doesn't taste very good. And we need to be warned there are people who will put on the airs of producing fruit for a time and season in their life. They will look oh so compassionate, look oh so joyful, look oh so patient in the moment and for a season. But in their hearts, it's full of rot. That was the Pharisees and what Jesus dealt with in the Pharisees. Though their outward appearance to men seemed so good, He saw the rot that was at their heart. So beware of artificial fruit as well. Don't just test it in the moment, but test it over the time, over the season. So, if growing fruits, growing the fruit of the Spirit is not optional in our lives, we must ask, how do we go about growing the fruit of the Spirit? How do we grow the fruit of the Spirit? First of all, we need to realize that phrase, the fruit of the Spirit. Whose fruit is it? Spirit's fruit produced in our lives. So we must have the Spirit.
The Spirit must be an operation in our life and our heart for us to produce the fruit of the Spirit. It will not come by our own efforts, by our own endeavors. It will not come by us saying, we'll try harder tomorrow to be patient. It will not come by those simple means. It comes by the Spirit in operation in our life. So how do we get the Spirit in operation in our life and our heart? We must surrender to Him. We must surrender to Jesus Christ and trust Him. We must give our lives to Him. We must trust Him with all that we are. In other words, what I'm saying is we must repent and believe the good news that is given to us, God's Word. We must repent and believe the good news of Jesus Christ. We must surrender our lives to Him. That's what repentance means, is I was going in this way. I was living the lives of the sinful nature. And I'm going to turn from that and see it for what it is, call it for what it is, and say, yes, it's at work in my life and my heart. And I'm going to turn and I'm going to now seek the fruits of the Spirit by God's aid and His power in my life and my heart. I must surrender to Him. So my friend, I ask, are you trusting today? Have you come to the point in your life where you surrendered yourself to the Lord? Where you recognize that sinful seed in your own life and your heart, called it for what it is, and called out to Jesus for help? Have you reached that point? And are you continuing to do so as you live your life, calling out to Him for the daily aid you need to live by the Spirit? See, we can't be saved by a list of obligations or rules or duties or trying harder. In this passage, one thing he references several times is, against such things there is no law. And the reason he's referencing the law is what's happening in Galatians is they're trying to go back to the Old Testament law and say, hey, if we live by the rules of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, keeping all the things that God called us to do, yes, even kosher laws and ceremonial laws and all this kind, if we keep all that kind of stuff, then we'll be in God's good graces. But what Paul wants them to recognize is, no, those laws can't produce anything in your heart. They can produce things on the outside, perhaps, but they won't change your heart. The whole law was aimed at changed hearts. That's why in the book of Jeremiah, God promises that one day He will write the law on the hearts of men, not on tablets of stone. In other words, He's saying, look, God is about heart transformation, not just outward performance of duties and rituals. So my friend, I can't give you a list of rules that, hey, if you'll do this, this, and this, you'll be producing the fruits of the Spirit. No, He calls you to surrender to Him and follow Him. And in that, He will produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life and in your heart. The law can't do it. Rules can't do it. Passing laws in our culture and society that requires everybody to live up to the certain standards will not produce suddenly loving people, joyful people, patient people in our society. That cannot work. It requires the Spirit work in our life and our heart. It transforms the heart on the inside. Secondly, to grow the fruit of the Spirit, we must engage in the work of the Spirit, which is the work of faith. So just like your garden, if you grow a garden, you have to prune it. You have to treat diseases, the blight that will come, and those kinds of things. You have to trim it out. You have to pull the weeds that begin to grow in it. So too in the life of the Christian. If we would cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, we must be about the work of faith and cultivating, quick to see when that seed of anger and animosity or immorality begins to grow, to pluck it out, to name it and call it what it is, and to confess it to our Lord. We must be about the work of continually seeking to turn our hearts and lives to the Lord in faith. You see, the life of a Christian is not the life of saying, stop it or do it. Stop that and do this. The life of the Christian is to say, believe it. Believe what Jesus says more than what your heart says, more than what the world says, more than what the culture says, more than what your friends say, more than everything. Believe what He has said and live in light of it. The ethical call of the Christian is to be who you really are. If you are a priest of God, if you are a child of God, if you are a kingdom citizen in this world, in the here and the now, then be that. Be who you really are. Trust the words that Christ says and live in light of it. So the fight of a Christian is the fight of faith. It's the fight of belief. It's the fight of hearing the promises that Jesus says to us. Hearing them anew each week as we gather as a church. Hearing them anew as you come to them in His Word. And reminding yourselves of them and saying, yes, that's what I am. That's who I am. I am His. I'm going to be that today by His grace and by His help. I'm going to trust that promise and live in light of it and hold to it and cling to it. And I'm going to pour that out back to God as I beg Him in prayer to enable me and work through me and call out to Him. That's why we gather over and over weekly. That's why we sing these songs, because they're more memorable than just words. They stick with us and they will linger with us, and then they'll come to our recollection in that moment of need, in a moment of challenge in our life. Well, don't be a stop it, do it, Christian. Be a believe it and live it, Christian. So the growing of our fruit comes as we have the Spirit, we've trusted in Jesus Christ, surrendered our life to Him. The Spirit goes to work in our life and our heart. And as we go through the daily, hourly struggle of trusting what God has said over everything the world says around us. In other words, the way the passage here in Galatians 5:25 says it, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in line with what the Spirit is saying. Let us follow through what the Spirit says. The Spirit speaks to us. He speaks to us in God's Word. As we read His Word, the Spirit will inflame it in our life and our heart. So today, I invite you to the life of the Spirit, bearing the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy, peace, and so on, and how you live. Not because you have good moral fortitude and a good sense of duty, and you can really push yourself to be more loving, like that's going to work. Because you hear the promises, you hear the truths that God has spoken to you, and you believe it, and you cling to it like nothing else in all your life. And when all around you goes awry, you keep holding on. And when your friends walk away, you keep holding on, believing and trusting. My friend, today, you may be here today and you may never have reached the point in your life where you've trusted and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. I want to invite you to do that today. The life of the Spirit is wonderful. It's marvelous. It has eternal hope and promise. My friend, today, you may need to act. As you hear the words of Scripture and you hear what it calls you to, and as you want to believe it, you may see yourself ready to take a next step in your faith. I challenge you to do that today, to act on it. There's opportunity if you wish to surrender your life in baptism. You can do that now. You can join this church. You can make a commitment to the Lord. Whatever God's calling you to do, I ask that you would do it. Would you stand as we close? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today that your Spirit is at work in the world, that you're moving, that you're active, that your Word will not return to you void, but will accomplish all that you purpose for it. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a fruitful people full of love and joy, kindness and goodness here in Tremont. Not anything that we can claim of ourselves or our own doing, but you see your Spirit moving through us and acting out the things that you would have us to do. Help us to see and identify the seeds of the sinful nature in our heart, to call it what it is, to call it out and to turn from it. Lord, we need your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, amen.